Hey guys, just a quick one before we start this episode. I wanted to talk to you about an amazing online educational platform called Brilliant. Brilliant is an online learning platform with some incredible and unique content targeted for STEM education, and that's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. The combination of high quality courses, creative learning design, and beginner friendliness makes it very appealing for all students. The user interface is very modern, and they offer a 7-day free trial for you to test it out. Now, their catalogue currently features more than 60 courses on subjects as varied as neural networks, solar energy, and cryptocurrency. All the lessons taught come with interactive exercises, quizzes, and daily challenges, all to keep the students of Brilliant as engaged with the materials as possible. To learn more about Brilliant, simply click the link in the episode bio and revolutionize your way of learning. Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Finals Countdown series, which is brought to you by MedTalks. Here we are providing lots of useful medical content for all of you clinical year medical students to help you with your revision and any upcoming exams. In today's talk, we're still in the gastroenterology section, and we'll be covering a condition called hereditary hemochromatosis. Wow, that's a bit of a mouthful. So before we get into this episode, I'd like to just take a moment to talk about the sponsors, and they are Wesleyan. Now, Wesleyan is a company that was set up way back in 1841, and they provide tailored financial advice and products to multiple professional groups, including doctors, dentists, and teachers. I'd like to just touch on Wesleyan's latest project called The Next Step. The Next Step is born from the Wesleyan tradition of giving back. Built in collaboration with final year students, The Next Step brings together some of the brightest sparks in medicine for live events, workshops, exam resources, contents, and podcasts to make the step into F1 a little easier. They address subject matter you didn't know that you needed to know. So go on over and follow them on Instagram by searching at The Wes Next Step, or Facebook by searching The Next Step -Wesleyan, or visit their website, which is thenextstep.wesleyan.co.uk. Right then, let's get back to the episode. So, what is this strange sounding condition called hereditary hemochromatosis all about? Well, it's an inherited condition, hence the term hereditary, and it demonstrates an autosomal recessive inheritance pattern. This means that both copies of the gene need to be present to exhibit the condition. Usually, the parents of the patient with the condition each have one faulty gene, which gets inherited. It's all about the metabolism of iron and where it goes wrong. And in short, there is excessive buildup of iron within the body, which causes a whole array of complications. And don't worry, we'll explore all of those shortly. But first, let's talk some numbers. The rough prevalence of hemochromatosis within Europe is 1 in 200 people. And the gene that's involved most of the time is in hereditary hemochromatosis is called the HFE gene, which is located on chromosome 6. And the HFE gene is responsible for providing the instructions for producing a protein that is located on the surface of cells, primarily the liver and the intestinal cells. And this protein interacts with other proteins on the cell surface to detect the amount of iron within the body. So a mutation of this gene is what causes the disease, but it is not very well understood at present. So what's so special about iron, I hear you all ask? So iron is a mineral that is essential to health. Some minerals, such as calcium, sodium, and potassium, are required by your bodies in large amounts, and they're called macrominerals. Iron is a trace mineral which is needed in smaller amounts. Other trace minerals include zinc, copper, and chromium. And as a nutrient, iron is important in your diet to help make hemoglobin, a vital protein in red blood cells. And hemoglobin gives red blood cells their colour and also helps them carry oxygen around the body. If you receive too little iron, you can become anemic. And in fact, a lack of iron in the body is the most common nutritional deficiency in the UK and throughout the world. Now let's explore the pathophysiology. So as I said before, in hemochromatosis, there is a mutation to the HFE gene on chromosome 6, which is involved in iron metabolism, although it's not completely clear. Consequently, excessive amounts of iron gets absorbed from the gut and is present within the body. And this then gets deposited into tissues and organs all over the body, which ultimately causes the damage. So how do people present? Now, the difficulty with hereditary hemochromatosis is that it so often presents quite late on. Initially, it's asymptomatic, so it's only picked up later on in life. And typically, symptoms start between the ages of 40 and 60 years old in males and after menopause in females. When people do start showing symptoms, they can be fairly non-specific and vague. So for example, fatigue, weakness, joint problems, so often patients have pain in the hands or knuckles, non-specific abdominal pain, and also possibly even erectile dysfunction and loss of libido. An incidental diagnosis of hereditary hemochromatosis may occur through abnormal blood tests, particularly an abnormal serum ferritin or liver function tests. If the disease is advanced, then symptoms become more apparent. For example, hepatomegaly due to deposits of iron within the liver, causing liver damage and eventual liver cirrhosis. Bronzing of the skin due to iron deposition within the skin. Diabetes mellitus, which is secondary to iron deposition within the beta cells in the pancreas, causing damage and dysfunction of these beta cells, and that leads to insensitivity to insulin. Arthropathy, cardiac problems, so patients may develop arrhythmias, cardiomyopathy, and this is usually the dilated version, and also heart failure. And also there may be neurological and psychiatric issues, so patients may present with impaired memory, mood swings, irritability, and depression. So, how is hereditary hemochromatosis diagnosed? Now, there are three main things to look at. Firstly, there's lab evidence of iron overload, genetic studies, and then organ damage. So, lab evidence of iron overload. What needs to be measured is the fasting transferrin saturation and serum ferritin, and I'll go through both of these. So the transferrin saturation is a percentage which measures the serum iron divided by the total iron binding capacity, TIBC as it's often written in short form. So the total iron binding capacity of transferrin, which is the main protein that iron is bound to within the blood. So 15% means that 15% of iron binding sites of transferrin are being occupied by iron. A high transferrin saturation therefore suggests iron overload. Now the average transferrin saturation is 25%, but the reference ranges will depend on multiple factors like age, sex, race, and the test devices being used. Most laboratories define the normal as a maximum of 30% for females and a maximum of 45% for males. So if you're getting numbers of 50% or more, then you know that's suggestive of iron overload. Serum ferritin is the most widely used test, and it's a very sensitive test for iron overload and hemochromatosis. However, it's not very specific because elevated values can occur in a range of conditions. For example, serum ferritin is known to be an acute phase reactant. So when there's inflammation or infection, the ferritin can go up. And so as a result, you need to do other tests to exclude other causes of an elevated ferritin, such as a CRP. So if the CRP is elevated, then that may explain why the ferritin is elevated, because it suggests that there's inflammation or infection. Also, you want to look at other causes, maybe chronic alcohol consumption, metabolic syndrome, and anemia. Now, the serum iron concentration does not quantitatively reflect body iron stores, and therefore should not be used alone as a marker of tissue iron overload. Other blood tests to do would be liver function tests, which will be deranged or raised, so particularly the ALT and the AST due to damage to hepatocytes from iron overload. But because you've got a raised LFTs, you want to do other causes, you want to investigate for other causes of abnormal liver function, such as doing hepatitis serology. And if you check out our previous talks on autoimmune hepatitis and viral hepatitis, these are available now on all podcast platforms completely for free at just the press of a button. So go over and check those out after this one if you haven't already done so. And other investigations are endocrine blood tests, particularly glucose. So as I alluded to earlier, a complication of hemochromatosis is diabetes mellitus, and you want to check the serum glucose. Additionally, hypothyroidism is another known complication, so doing thyroid function tests would also be warranted. The second step of the second part of the diagnosis is genetic testing, so particularly looking for the HFE genotype, and that will be done as part of the genetic workup. And a liver biopsy is now rarely used, but it used to be performed more often, but now rarely used due to the presence of genetic testing. Right, so let's move on to the management for patients with this condition. If they've got evidence of excessive iron in the body, then they'll need phlebotomy or venous action. And this is essentially the removal of blood. And it should be around 400 to 500 mils of blood per week or every 2 weeks. And this equates to about 200 to 250 milligrams of iron. If patients are intolerant or refuse this, then you can consider desferrioxamine. Desferrioxamine is an iron chelating agent which binds to free iron within the blood and it eliminates it within the urine. And once iron levels are stabilized, then lifelong but less frequent phlebotomy will be required. This will typically be 3 to 4 times a year. And the aim is to obtain a ferritin level of less than 50 micrograms per liter. A normal ferritin range is between 20 and 230 micrograms per liter. And of course, different sources will quote different ranges, but it's roughly about that. Before the initiation of phlebotomy, patients with hemochromatosis should be assessed for complications that I've alluded to earlier, such as diabetes, joint disease, endocrine deficiencies such as hypothyroidism, heart failure, and these should all be managed regardless of whether or not hemochromatosis is the underlying cause and whether there is symptomatic relief or improvement during phlebotomy. Now, phlebotomy may improve iron removal and may improve insulin sensitivity, skin pigmentation and fatigue, but it will have no effect on cirrhosis or arthropathy. To minimize the risk of additional complications, patients with hemochromatosis should be immunized against the viral hepatitis. Now, if unfortunately they have end-stage liver disease, then this may be an indication for liver transplantation. In terms of monitoring, well, the serum ferritin is the main investigation used because it correlates with symptoms and the risk of complications. When the serum ferritin is less than 1,000 micrograms per liter, then the risk of serious liver damage is low. But if it's above that, that's an indication for a liver biopsy because of the risk of cirrhosis. When a liver biopsy shows cirrhosis, then periodic screening for hepatocellular carcinoma using imaging such as an MRI scan is essential. In terms of what patients can do with their diet, well, iron-containing vitamins and iron-supplemented foods such as breakfast cereals should ideally be avoided, and also compliance with phlebotomy will prevent iron overload. So that brings my talk on hemochromatosis to an end. Again, I hope you found it useful. Please remember to share it with your friends, your peers, and anyone else who may benefit. Leave us a comment in the Apple Podcast platform, or if you want to give us feedback in another way, you can message us on Instagram, and our Instagram is medtalks.uk. You can also email us, and our email address is hellomedtalks@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your feedback, or if you have any questions, and also any constructive criticism you want to give us. Follow us on Instagram and on Facebook, and subscribe to our podcast platforms to stay tuned for more episodes coming up. In the next talk, we'll be covering a condition called Wilson's disease, so stay tuned for that one. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.